Dr. Jack Kevorkian served 8 years in prison for murder. Now he wants to serve on Capitol Hill.
It's Jefferson and Madison and Franklin talking from the grave through me.
You got every right in the world to do and say what you want as long as you don't threaten or harm anybody or any property.
Yes, none other than Jack Kevorkian running for Congress. Like to see his libertarian ways put into law. Of course, his libertarian ways, if you can call them that, I don't want to offend any libertarians, really are far darker, far more morbid than the average libertarian's view of personal freedom. When it leads to physician-assisted suicide, or what Kevorkian might call euthanasia, things get very dirty indeed. We're going to be talking about Jack Kevorkian's run for Congress and his past. Wesley Smith joins us here for the first half hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You can join us as well. We have a call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, and an in-studio email address this Wednesday, August the 13th, talkbackatissuesetc.org. A little later in this hour, we'll be talking with Dr. Victor Raj. Recently, there was a rather high death toll, a stampede at a Hindu temple. The celebration, it was a religious celebration in favor of the mother goddess. We'll find out how that fits into Hinduism with Dr. Victor Raj here in a few minutes. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us for our regular feature. Today we're going to talk about the hookup culture that is flourishing and has for a decade or two on college campuses. With all the kids going back to school, let's talk about what the hookup really is and what it's replaced in our oversexed culture. Dr. Peter Kurowski will join us to talk about Christ-centered marriage in the last part of Issues, Etc. today. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkbackatissuesetc.org. Wesley Smith is our guest to talk about Jack Kevorkian's run for Congress. Before we bring on Wesley, let's listen to this story from CBS News on Jack Kevorkian and his political ambitions.
Hi, Caroline.
Dr. Jack Kevorkian served 8 years in prison for murder. Now he wants to serve on Capitol Hill.
You got every right in the world to do and say what you want as long as you don't threaten or harm anybody or any property.
For the man who claims not to have harmed but helped more than 130 terminally ill people commit suicide, that may sound familiar. He'll just tell you it's the 9th Constitutional Amendment, something he insists our forefathers wanted.
It's Jefferson and Madison and Franklin talking from the grave through me.
At 80 years old, Kevorkian doesn't drive anymore to get to a campaign event. He's either got to walk, hitch a ride, or take a bus, just like he did when he registered to run. The candidate from Michigan has no campaign manager and little money.
No, but I got what money buys. Notoriety and fame.
So being Dr. Death helps you.
In a way.
The prosecutor who put Kevorkian behind bars sees it as another form of suicide.
I think it's political suicide. I don't think he has a prayer.
Kevorkian's longtime attorney believes in him.
And I don't care what they say. He went to jail. He helped people die. He just believes in freedom. That man is a true patriot.
Up against an incumbent Republican and a Democrat, Kevorkian is an independent who doesn't believe in parties.
A party is like a religion. It straitjackets your mind.
We'll see if Michigan minds are open to giving Dr. Death a new life in Washington. Drew Levinson, CBS News, Royal Oak, Michigan.
Wesley Smith joins us. He's a senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide. He's author of numerous books, including Forced Exit and Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, good to talk to you again.
Are you at all surprised to discover that Jack Kevorkian, Dr. Death, has decided that he wants to try and make it to the U.S. Congress?
No, what Jack Kevorkian wants is publicity, and this is the way to get it. You find that happens quite a bit with people who feel they are not getting enough attention in the media, especially when they used to be in the very center of the Klieg lights. And so when that happens, they tend to run for office knowing they will never win, but it gets them a few more interviews.
Okay, do you think he has a chance?
No. What disturbs me, though, is that Jack Kevorkian was paid $50,000 to give a speech to the University of Florida. This is a convicted murderer paid by state funds in Florida, $50,000, because, you know, we love our outlaws in this country. This run for Congress is just Kevorkian, you know, kind of railing at the wind. His day is done, but he has already done the damage to our belief in the sanctity of human life by being able to literally assist the suicides or euthanize up to 130 or more people and end up with good poll ratings. What he basically demonstrated was that in many regards, this country is turning its back on taking care of vulnerable people, disabled people, and thinking that the value of a person with a terminal illness has as much worth as anybody else. I cut my teeth in anti-assisted suicide advocacy dealing with him and arguing about his rampage, if you will. And it was really revelatory to me how this idea of, quote, choice, close quote, basically is a wash for all sins. And I don't mean sins in a theistic sense, but sins in the idea of just abandoning people to the worst their worst fears and their worst nightmares.
So someone might say Kevorkian did his dirty deeds, upward of 100 of them, paid his debt to society, and now he's a little bit more than a political oddity, and the whole concern about physician-assisted suicide is, at the present day with Kevorkian realistically out of the picture, overblown. How would you respond?
Well, I would say that Kevorkian has already done his worst. I would quite agree with that. But what Kevorkian's worst was did open the door to a broader acceptance among the general public of assisted suicide and euthanasia. Remember, when he started back in 1991 or 1992, the first person he helped kill was a woman named Janet Adkins, who had Alzheimer's disease in a very early stage. She probably had a decade left to live. A few days before she died at his hands with his suicide machine, she had beat her son at tennis. And people at that, for the first one, were upset. But by the second and third one, say in 92 or 93, a woman named Marjorie Wants, and another woman named Miller. Marjorie Wants had nothing wrong with her. She was complaining bitterly of pelvic pain, and yet he assisted her suicide, and nothing was done about it. And the second woman was disabled with multiple sclerosis, wasn't even terminally ill, neither one of them were. And from there, everything turned around, and the media supported him. He was invited to Time Magazine's 75th anniversary party, where he was the guest of honor. Tom Cruise went running up to shake his hand. He became quite the toast of the intelligentsia and the media elite and the popular elite in this country. And in so doing, he faced down court after court an inability to convict this man of obvious crimes. I won't get into all the details. For example, they had to pass a law at first because there was some ambiguity there. But he faced down the ability of this country to hold a specific principles. And we found with Jeffrey Feiger, who was quoted in that clip, the lawyer, where he would go in and say, but this woman wanted to die, and with high emotions, we found that what mattered wasn't principles, wasn't right and wrong, it was the emotion of the moment. And emotions completely swayed that case until Kevorkian illustrated to the world that it was really about him and not about compassion when he filmed himself murdering Thomas Yoke, who had Lou Gehrig's disease, and then brought the video to 60 Minutes to put on the air. He had basically, by the time he murdered Thomas Yoke, had a free rein to commit assisted suicide all he wanted, but that wasn't enough because at that time his headlines had gone to page 8 in the newspapers. He even took somebody's kidneys after an assisted suicide. A fellow named Joseph Tushkowski took his kidneys, offered them first come, first serve at a press conference, and he was still popular. And so you can see what he did was he faced down the American people and said, you really don't care about the sanctity of human life, and if I scream about emotion and compassion and choice, you'll shrug your shoulders. And you know what? He was right until people decided, oh, Jack Kevorkian's only in it for Jack Kevorkian, and then he got put in jail. So he opened the door for the window on a culture that has real problems that I just described, only they're getting worse, not better.
Okay, so for the many who advocate for physician-assisted suicide or other forms of so-called euthanasia, but aren't shameless self-promoters like Jack Kevorkian, is the danger is great. We've got 30 seconds before our break.
Well, and you see that there's an initiative in Washington State this year that is winning at the polls to do just that. Even though Oregon has just sent letters to two people with cancer saying they would not pay for cancer treatment under Medicaid, but they would pay for their assisted suicide.
Wesley Smith is our guest. We're talking about Jack Kevorkian's run for Congress. And, of course, just because the 80-year-old Jack Kevorkian decides that he would like an opportunity to be a lawmaker doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get it. His chances are slim. And yet, the right to die, the death with dignity, whatever it's being called nowadays, movement, is still alive and well in the United States. We'll find out where it's at now and where it may be near you. Our call-in number on this Wednesday, August the 13th, as we talk with Wesley Smith of the Discovery Institute and author of the book Forced Exit and Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio with questions or comments, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. On the other side of the break, 10 more minutes with Wesley Smith.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Devin Harris, Gary Urban, Seth Michael James, Kyla, Helen Jensen, Melinda Bombaro, Pastor Ken Shaw, Justin Morris, John Thomas, and Alan Kent. Thanks for your support.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Wesley Smith is our guest. We're talking about Jack Kevorkian, his run for Congress, and the movement that, in many ways, he's kind of a patron saint for this movement. I don't know how seriously he's taken, but his ideas and the presuppositions behind his ideas and his actions are certainly worthy of not only our serious scrutiny, but also of some critique. We're trying to do a little bit of that with Wesley Smith here for the next 10 minutes of the program. Wesley, you mentioned before the break that there is actually something that has some traction with the voters out west on the issue of physician-assisted suicide?
Yes, this is very frightening, and it hasn't gotten much attention. There is an initiative on the Washington state ballot for November, patterned after the Oregon assisted suicide law, to legalize that assisted suicide in that state. It has received more than $2 million in support, some of it from, you know, most of it from not in the state of Washington, but euthanasia activists and euthanasia PACs. The former governor, Booth Gardner, who was a Democrat in the 1990s, he was governor, now has Parkinson's, is very, very wealthy. He's put $200,000 of his own money in and says he'll put in more if it's necessary. You know, this is the kind of thing that George Soros has been supporting with a lot of money. The Jack Kevorkian style of leadership, the Derek Humphrey with his suicide bags kind of thing, let's call that the crackpot style of assisted suicide leadership, has given way to a professional model where very well-tailored, upper-middle-class, mostly women, people like Barbara Coombsley and Catherine Tucker of the euthanasia advocacy group Compassion and Choices, which used to be called the Hemlock Society. And so you can see that they moved it from the hemlock, which is pretty honest, the poison, moved it to Compassion and Choices, you know, euphemisms. They've got millions in budget. They're getting Soros money, Tides Foundation money. This is a very big progressive agenda item for many, although the disability rights community, which is part of the progressive coalition, is dead set against assisted suicide, which has put a monkey wrench in the gears from it moving forward. But if it passes in Washington state, I think the wind will be at the assisted suicide movement's backs again. This coalition that we've talked about on the show before of assisted suicide, pro-life people, disability rights advocates, medical professionals, advocates for the poor and so forth, who have come together, even though we may disagree about other issues, to stop assisted suicide from spreading, has kept it bottled up in Oregon since 1994 when it passed there. Now, 14 years later, it is threatening to break out again. If we can defeat it in Washington state, and if anybody's interested in that, go to Coalition Against Assisted Suicide in Washington and see how you can help. If we can defeat it in Washington state, it'll be a huge setback for them, because that would show that even in a very liberal state, a very secular state like the state of Washington, people understand that this is very dangerous. It leads to abuses. It leads to the abandonment of the vulnerable and even the poor, as I just described has happened in Oregon. But if it passes, then the California legislature, just as one example where I live, which has resisted real strong efforts to legalize assisted suicide, might go in the other direction.
You mentioned briefly there the medical community. What can we, although we can't paint with too broad a brush, what can we say about the consensus of the medical community on issues like physician-assisted suicide?
We can say that virtually every medical, professional medical association, with very few exceptions, opposes legalizing assisted suicide and euthanasia. We can say that most, if not all, major hospice organizations oppose legalizing assisted suicide. We can say that most nursing, if not all, major nursing professional associations oppose legalizing assisted suicide. In the United Kingdom, when the leadership, the intelligentsia types, you know, like this agenda. And so in the UK, for the British Medical Association, the leadership went from opposition to neutrality, which is where the euthanasia people want them to go. And the rank and file came forward at the next convention and changed that by a vote back to opposition. So it's very clear that at least the established medical associations and most physicians oppose it. Unfortunately, the younger doctors who are being taught by bioethicists like Peter Singer of Princeton University and others are, according to polls, have a different view because they've been nurtured on the issue of, quote, choice, close quote, and patient autonomy. And therefore, what we see, at least in the polling, is that younger doctors and younger medical professionals may go in the other direction. But at least as it is now, that's a pretty good staunch opponent of this killing agenda.
Three quick final questions for you, Wesley. If we talk about the medical community, we've got to talk about the healthcare system, in particular the insurance system. Has there been any attempt to try and mainstream this into what insurance carriers will pay for or will pay for in part?
Not yet, because I think for one thing, they're too smart. They would know that if HMO started pushing this, it would be the death knell of assisted suicide. But I think those two stories out of Oregon about the Medicaid program in Oregon, which is rationed, refusing life-extending chemotherapy for two patients, one with lung cancer, one with prostate cancer, but specifically offering to pay their assisted suicide bills, is a wake-up call, because if nationalized health type of insurance would do that under a legalized assisted suicide regimen, you can bet that HMOs would follow once it was acceptable. And we've also seen in Oregon, HMO Kaiser Northwest, there was a memo that was leaked in which administrators asked doctors to be willing to assist the suicides of patients who were not their own patients, but plan members, and which was pretty remarkable when you think about it. You know, a health insurance HMO asking whether doctors would assist the suicides of people who they didn't normally see. That was several years ago. I don't know whether, you know, that remained in place, but that memo was quite illuminating.
What will the legacy of Jack Kevorkian be?
That America loves outlaws, that the ability to stand on moral principles in this country is very weak, and that if you scream compassion and choice loud enough, most people are not going to be willing to take a position against agendas, even if they involve killing people in the back of rusty vans.
And why, in a nutshell, is Jack Kevorkian and those who, under more euphemistic and far more reasonably appearing pretenses, pushed his agenda, why is that agenda wrong, in a nutshell?
Because it devalues the human equality. You're saying that some human beings, if they want to commit suicide, will prevent it, but we're saying that other human beings have lives so unworthy of being lived that will facilitate it. And once you go down that road, then eventually you end up with what they have in the Netherlands, which is not only euthanasia for those who ask for it, but killing of patients who have not asked for it by doctors, and even infanticide now entering the Dutch pediatric wards, eugenic infanticide, because pretty soon killing becomes an acceptable answer to human suffering. And once that is true, then the whole concept of the limitations of terminal illness goes by the wayside. As another example, Switzerland recently had its Supreme Court declare a constitutional right to assisted suicide for the mentally ill. That is the kind of agenda that is open once you accept the assisted suicide principles, which are that killing is an acceptable answer to human suffering, and we have a right of radical personal autonomy, and that the right to kill oneself is the ultimate civil right.
With less than a minute, are we in the United States still at the threshold on this issue, not having passed through the point of no return philosophically?
Yes, I think that's true. I think that this is not a settled deal. I think that there is a great deal of trepidation and wariness on the part of the American people. They're pulled in both directions, and so there is certainly hope that we will be able to continue to hold this pernicious agenda at bay.
Wesley Smith is a senior fellow for the Discovery Institute. He's an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, and he's author of numerous books, including Forced Exit and Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. You will find a link to Wesley's website under the on-demand section of our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, you'll find a link to the website for Wesley Smith. Thanks for being our guest, Wesley.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back from this break, the death toll is actually pretty staggering from this. It seems like an accident, although, and it certainly is an accident, a stampede at a Hindu temple in India. People gathered there to carry out one of the rites, one of the seasonal rites of Hinduism. Dr. Victor Raj will join us to talk about this recent deadly stampede at a Hindu temple and where it fits within the practices and beliefs of Hindus. Then Jennifer Roback Morse will join us for a regular feature with her. The kids are headed back to school, aren't they? College. And that means in college, there's all sorts of freedoms, there's all sorts of dating and parties, but one of the greatest dangers there is the hookup. It sounds innocuous, but in many ways, the hookup has replaced the dating, the courting, the getting to know you. Just straight to the anonymous sex, please, is what a hookup is. We'll talk about the hookup culture with Jennifer Roback Morse, author of the book Smart Sex, Finding Lifelong Love in a Hookup World. And then we'll round off today's issues, etc. Dr. Peter Kurowski will join us. He's author of the book, The Lifelines of Love. We'll talk about a Christ-centered marriage. Yeah, I imagine that the death with dignity, or the death, let's just call it the death community, likes having Jack Kevorkian around for as long as he'll stay because he makes them seem reasonable. He's old school peddler in death. Right in your face, talking about American freedom, Jefferson and Madison would have wanted it this way. The new peddlers in death don't appear to be peddlers in death at all. They appear to be peddlers in compassion, in caring, in choice, in freedom. But it's the same, whether it's Jack Kevorkian or the new peddlers in death. Still peddling the same thing. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. Victor Raj about Hinduism.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.